And the Afterglow is made possible in part by the generosity of Superior Energy in Vernon, serving the residential and commercial propane needs of Connecticut and southern Massachusetts since 1939. This small business treats you like family, truly a business with heart, supporting local organizations like WJMJ, giving back to the community, and offering customers personalized one-on-one attention with the human touch. Call 800-242-0427 to discuss your propane needs or visit propanect.com for a live chat.
Well, it's time in the Afterglow, your time set aside just for you. Hi, I'm Father John. Last name is Gatzak. Just so you don't get me confused with any other Father John. There are plenty of Father Johns populating the world, but there is only one Father John Gatzak. And I can hear the whisper saying, "Well, thank God for that." There aren't many that can put up with more than one of me. So here we sit in the afterglow, the twilight of time. The sun sets to close the day. There's a glow in the sky. If the atmospheric conditions are ripe, if the weather cooperates, God paints a perfect picture across the horizon to show you that indeed, life is beautiful. Life is yours. With it, do what you can, the most you can. Days are getting longer, and we look forward to the greening of America and the coming of spring, when it'll be easier to find God in the beauty all around us, and in the people, the friends and the family around us who help make up our lives. Now, by now, you've probably realized that you have a direct choice to make. Just let life happen, which is tantamount to serving God your leftovers, or actively participating in the creation of your best possible self. Creation of your life is not left to chance or the direction of the winds. It's not like floating downstream. There are different roads to take and choices to make, and they are yours to decide. For now, we're in the afterglow, where we'll work together to make the best choice. Our time to unwind and decompress with some music, inspiration, and thought, right here on WJMJ. So, come on in. Glad you could join me. Yes, you're in the Afterglow with Father John. This is WJMJ. Together, we unwind, we relax, and get life back into balance, on track. Glad you're here. So we can set life straight with a bit of music and meditation to help engage the best of who we really are in the Afterglow. So, tell me, do you ever have moments that are uncomfortable, embarrassing, or awkward? We have them all the time, like forgetting someone's birthday or saying goodbye to someone, only you start walking in the same direction together.
Or you see someone you know and you forget their name. Isn't that right, host guy?
Yeah, that's a good one. And by the way, my name is Father John.
Yeah, of course I know that. I just know you like to be called host guy.
Yeah, sure, okay. Well, it's okay if something like that happens, and today is a good day to learn about taking positives out of the incidents on Awkward Moments Day. It is a day to find humor and laughter from the times in life where we aren't so smooth. This can be difficult, as some people tend to dwell on these moments and feel bad about them, but that doesn't have to be. Instead, you can make a joke about these moments to make your life much more enjoyable. Like, it was pretty funny when Henrietta forgot my name.
I didn't forget your name, Tony.
That's still not right, but that's okay, Henrietta. Forget about it. Try to turn embarrassing circumstances like that into laughter on Awkward Moments Day. Now, surely you've heard the tune Alexander's Ragtime Band, haven't you? Well, did you know that it was first copyrighted back on this day in 1911? By its composer, Irving Berlin. It was the most popular song of the 20th century, selling 1.5 million copies within the first 18 months of publication. But unlike the platinum-selling hits of today, Alexander's Ragtime Band gained popularity through sheet music, not recordings. The piece was a very simplistic ragtime number that was fairly easy to play on the piano, which contributed to its high sales of the sheet music. Shortly after its rise in popularity, lyrics were added to the original instrumental piece, and several musical artists began to release full recordings, from Louis Armstrong to Ray Charles, the Bee Gees, Bing Crosby, Ella Fitzgerald, Judy Garland, and most popularly by vaudeville singer Emma Karras, who is credited with first introducing the song and is widely associated with it. Here's a version now by the Andrews Sisters to commemorate the day the standard Alexander's Ragtime Band, the most popular song of the 20th century, was first copyrighted back on this day in 1911.
Oh, my honey, oh, my honey, better hurry and let's meander. Ain't you going to the leader man, ragged meter man? Oh, my honey, oh, my honey, let me take you to Alexander's grandstand brass band. Ain't you coming along? Come on in here, come on in here, Alexander's ragtime band. Come on in here, come on in here, it's the best band in the land. They can play a bugle call like you never heard before. So natural that you wanna go to war. That's just the bestest band. What am my honey lamb? Come on along, come on along, let me take you by the hand. Up to the man, up to the man, who's the leader of the band. And if you care to hear that Swanee River played in ragtime, come on in here, come on in here, Alexander's ragtime band. Come on in here, Alexander's ragtime band. Come on in here, come on in here. It's the best band in the land. They can play a bugle call like you never heard before. So natural that you wanna go to war. That's just the bestest band. What am, oh, my honey lamb. Come on along, come on along, let me take you by the hand. Up to the man, up to the man, who's the leader of the band. And if you care to hear that Swanee River played in ragtime, come on in here, let's hear Alexander's ragtime band. Ah, here they come. Take you by the hand, up to the man who's the leader of the band. And if you care to hear that Swanee River played in ragtime, come on in here, come on in here, Alexander's Ragtime Band.
Well, you must know where you are. You're in the Afterglow. I'm Father John. This is WJMJ. And here's where we take time to confront the bittersweet of life with a bit of faith, optimism, and hope. Each evening I offer a brief reflection on some facet of life that I hope will empower you with a few more tools with which to acquire more joy in living. So we journey now toward the intersection of where faith meets life. Say what you mean. Mean what you say. How good is your word? Well, let's talk about truth-telling. Learning to speak the truth sooner is one of the most important habits you will ever develop. In fact, as soon as you start asking yourself the question, I wonder when would be the best time to tell the truth, that's actually the best time to do so. Will it be uncomfortable? Probably. Will it create lots of reactions? Yes. But it is the right thing to do. Get into the habit of telling the truth faster. Ultimately, you want to get to the point where you say it as soon as you think it. That's when you become totally authentic. What you see is what you get. People will know where you stand. You can be counted on to speak your mind. A lot of times, people use the excuse that they don't want to hurt another person's feelings. This is always a lie. If you ever catch yourself thinking this, what's really happening is that you're protecting yourself from your own feelings. You're avoiding what you will feel when they get upset. It is the coward's way out, and it simply delays having all of your cards on the table. This includes telling the kids that you are getting a divorce, that the family is moving to Texas because Daddy got a new job, that you are going to have to lay off some staff members, that you aren't going to be taking a family vacation this year, that you have to put the family pet to sleep, that you aren't going to be able to deliver the order by the date you promised, or you lost the family nest egg in a bad stock deal. You see, hiding the truth always backfires. The longer you withhold it, the more disservice you do to yourself and to the others involved. Marilyn Tam was working as a divisional manager overseeing the operations of 320 stores for Miller's Outpost back in 1986 when a friend told her Nike was planning to open their own concept stores and CEO Phil Knight was interested in hiring her to oversee the project. Nike was frustrated because sports shoe stores like Foot Locker weren't displaying their clothing apparel in a way that properly portrayed their lifestyle image. Because Marilyn thought that working for Nike would be a great opportunity, she did some research prior to her meeting by visiting a number of different stores that carried Nike apparel so that she would be ready to make a proposal to Phil about how to create a store Nike would be proud to present to the world. As she did her research, she discovered two things. The footwear was good. It was functional, durable, and priced well. But the apparel was a disaster. It was inconsistent in quality, sizing, and durability, and it was not integrated or color coordinated. She found out later that Nike's clothing line had been an afterthought in response to consumer demand for more Nike logo apparel. It had not been thought out in a coordinated way. Nike had simply gone out and bought stock goods and just put its own label on them. The company bought apparel from different manufacturers without any consistent standards in size, quality, or color. It was not an image that was really reflective of the brand. Marilyn's dilemma was that her desire to work for Nike was in conflict with her professional judgment about the products. She was afraid that if she told Phil that the product wasn't consistent with the brand image and shouldn't be in stores, she wouldn't get the job. When she finally met with Phil Knight in Oregon, the initial conversation about the potential of the new store concept was exciting. But as the conversation unfolded, Marilyn became more and more uncomfortable because she knew she needed to tell him the truth about the quality of the merchandise and her belief that the stores would fail if they went ahead without first creating a standardized and integrated product line. But she hesitated because she feared that in his haste to get the stores up and running, he'd just find someone else to do it. After 2 hours, she finally spoke up and told Phil that the Nike shoes were great, but if they were going to do a concept store based on apparel and accessories, even though apparel was a very small factor, only about 5% of the overall sales of the company, it would have been over half of the store's display. She told him that she thought the stores would fail because the products would not reflect what Nike stood for. Just as she feared, her disclosure ended the conversation rather quickly. She flew back to California wondering if she had done the right thing. She felt that she had probably lost any chance of getting a job there, but she also felt good about having told the truth. 2 weeks later, Phil Knight called her and told her he had reconsidered what she had said, had done his own research on the quality of the merchandise, and agreed with her assessment of the situation. He offered her the job as the first vice president of apparel and accessories. He told her, "You come, fix the goods, then we open the stores." As you probably know, the rest is history. Though the decision to wait held up the opening of the Nike stores by about 2 years, the apparel division has had huge growth, and the concept stores have helped Nike continue to expand and take even greater hold on the American imagination. Samuel Goldwyn, co-founder of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios, said, "I don't want any yes men around me. I want everybody to tell me the truth, even if it costs them their jobs." And that's where faith meets life.
I can't believe your honesty, your open heart amazes me. There's no way I can help but be in love with you. The talk you seem so innocent, the way a branch is left unbent. Sometimes I feel that you've been sent to change my life. Like a merchant in a market of thieves, I came displaying my wares to you. But you saw through all the fear in my eyes and made me be what I am. You opened the door and you opened your heart to this lonely girl. Now to live is to love you, and to love is to be near you again. You're not the first, you're not the best, but still you shine above the rest. I feel as though my life was blessed when I met you. Like a merchant in a market of thieves, I came displaying my wares to you. But you saw through all the fear in my eyes and made me be what I am. You opened the door when you opened your heart to this lonely girl. Now to live is to love you, and to love is to be near you again.
That was Honesty by Jane Oliver. Born as Jane Cohen in Brooklyn, New York in 1947, Jane Oliver was initially compared, often favorably, to Barbara Streisand and Edith Piaf. She grew up with a background in folk music, as she was especially influenced by Johnny Mathis and Gene Pitney. I hope you enjoyed that. You're in the Afterglow with Father John on WJMJ, and this day in history marks the birth anniversary of one of our nation's presidents. Grover Cleveland was born on this day in 1837 in Caldwell, New Jersey. He was the 22nd and 24th president of the United States, and as such, the only president to serve two non-consecutive terms in office. He was a Bourbon Democrat who won praise for his honesty, self-reliance, integrity, and commitment to the principles of classical liberalism. He relentlessly fought political corruption, patronage, and bossism. During his second term, he was overwhelmed by the nation's economic disasters of the time, primarily the Panic of 1893, which caused a national depression. Even so, his reputation for probity and good character survived the troubles of his second term. Biographer Alan Nevins wrote of him, "In Grover Cleveland, the greatness lies in typical rather than unusual qualities. He had no endowments that thousands of men do not have. He possessed honesty, courage, firmness, independence, and common sense. But he possessed them to a degree other men do not." Grover Cleveland, born on this day in 1837. And today also marks the birth anniversary of a man well known for his participatory journalism. George Plimpton was born on this day in 1927. He was an American journalist, writer, literary editor, actor, and a founder of the Paris Review. He was well known for participating in events and writing about the experience from his view as an amateur. This included things such as acting in a Western, performing a comedy act at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, and playing with the New York Philharmonic Orchestra. But his most famous exploits came from the world of sports, where he wrote many of his best-known books. Out of My League detailed his experience pitching against the National League in an exhibition game at Yankee Stadium with teams managed by Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle. His best-known book, Paper Lion, detailed his experience as a backup quarterback in training camp with the Detroit Lions. He also trained as a goalie with the Boston Bruins and attempted to play professional golf on the PGA Tour. And he even pulled off one of the greatest April Fool's Day pranks of all time, in which he wrote an account in Sports Illustrated on a pitcher in the New York Mets organization named Siddhartha Finch, who could throw a baseball 160 miles per hour, wore a heavy boot on one foot, and was a practicing Buddhist with a largely unknown background. The prank was so successful that many readers believed the story, and the popularity of the joke resulted in Plimpton writing an entire book on Finch. Plimpton died of a heart attack on September 25, 2003, in his New York City apartment. A journalist who did it all, George Plimpton, born on this day in 1927.
Save the sky by the
Enya with Caribbean Blue. Now it's story time in the Afterglow. It seems a man began to give large doses of cod liver oil to his Doberman dog because he had been told that the stuff was good for dogs. Each day he would hold the head of the protesting dog between his knees, force its jaws open, and pour the liquid down its throat. One day, the dog broke loose and spilled the oil on the floor. Then, to the man's great surprise, it returned to lick the spoon. That is when he discovered that what the dog had been fighting was not the oil, but his method of administering it. Something to think about. Be kind to your pets.
Well, I just thought that you would like to know that I would do anything just to make your dreams, just to make your dreams come true.
I just thought that you would like to know that I would climb the highest tree just to make your dreams, just to make your dreams come.
It seems like I am full of hot air, but my heart is in the right place. I swear, I swear.
I just thought that he
to make your dreams come true. Just to make your dreams, just to make your dreams come
Well, we're in the Afterglow. I'm Father John, and we get together every weekday evening from 7 to 8 for some music, meditation, introspection, and inspiration. Thank you for your company this evening. That was Willie Nelson and Nora Jones with Dreams Come True. Well, I certainly hope so. There's an anonymous poem entitled The Road to Success, in which the author writes that the road to success is not straight. One curve leads to failure, another leads to confusion. Friends and relatives are the speed bumps and flashing yellow caution lights along the way. Sometimes your job will seem like a flat tire. To get back on the road and reach your destination, you'll need a spare tire called determination, an engine called perseverance, and an insurance policy called faith. The bumpy road you travel will feel smoother if you pack a positive attitude to bolster your belief in yourself, plus plenty of enthusiasm for whatever lies ahead. Now, turn on the light. You'll see better. When Joseph was dropped into a pit by his own brothers, God didn't give up. When Moses said, "Here I am, send Aaron," God didn't give up. When Peter worshiped him at the supper and cursed him at the fire, he didn't give up. God never gives up, especially not on you.
Stop the clocks, it's amazing. You should see the way the light dances off your head. A million colors of hazel, golden and red.
Night prayer is coming up, but first, let's let God's Word talk back to us in today's Word.
Oh, I will hold on to the afterglow.
Today is Monday of the fifth week of Lent. Let the one who has not sinned be the first to throw a stone at her. Leaving her partner to make his escape, the Pharisees dragged the hapless woman before Jesus. She was caught committing adultery, they said. The law says she should be stoned to death. What do you say? They were trying to trap him, and the woman was used as bait. If he said stone her to death, the Romans could arrest him for intruding on the occupying forces' right to execute criminals. If he said do not stone her, he could be accused of ignoring God's law and so being a false teacher. Jesus' first response was silence. He looked down, leaving the woman and her accusers with their own thoughts. It was a merciful silence, giving even the bloodthirsty a chance to change their minds. But they persisted. So Jesus looked up from writing in the sand and said, "Let anyone who has not sinned throw the first stone." In that reply, justice and mercy met. He neither flouted the law nor condemned the woman. The only one present who had not sinned did not throw a stone. On the contrary, he was the first to cast a cloak of protection around the woman. In this, he embodied his Father's love. He showed us, in human terms, how God responds to sinners. Our God wants us to receive his forgiveness and to truly believe in his unconditional love for us. The Father loves us because He is good, not because we are good. The implications are clear. No matter how guilty we know ourselves to be, nor how great our sin, let's come quickly into God's presence. He is more anxious to forgive us than we are to be forgiven. We have a wonderful opportunity to receive mercy during Lent with a spirit of true repentance. Today's gospel also shows that we must let drop from our hands the stone of condemnation. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Grant mercy, and you will receive mercy.
Alone I wait in the shadows. I count the hours till I can sleep. I dreamed a dream Cosette stood by. It made her weep to know I died. Alone at the end of the day, upon this wedding night I pray, take these children, my Lord, to thy embrace and show them grace.
Understand. Are you all right? They said you'd gone away.
Cosette, my child, am I forgiven now? Thank God I've lived to see this day. It's you who must forgive a thoughtless fool. It's you who must forgive a thankless man. It's thanks to you that I am living. And again I lay down my life at your feet. Cosette, your father is a saint. When they wounded me, he took me from the barricade, carried like a babe, and brought me home to you. Now you are here. Again beside me. Now I can die in peace. For now my life is blessed.
Papa, you're going to live. It's too soon, too soon to say goodbye.
Yes, Cosette, forbid me now to die. I'll obey. I will try. On this page I write my last confession. Read it well when I at last am sleeping. It's the story of those who always loved you. Your mother gave her life for you, then gave you to my keeping.
Come with me, where chains will never bind you. All your grief at last behind you. Lord in heaven, look down on him in mercy.
Forgive me all my trespasses and take me to your glory.
Take my hand, I'll lead you to salvation. Take my love, for love is everlasting.
And remember the truth that once was spoken. To love another person is to see the face of
And now on this Monday, the 18th day of March, on the memorial of St. Cyril of Jerusalem, we reflect on God's nourishing and loving presence with us. So we close our time in the afterglow with prayer. Watch, O Lord, with those who wake or watch or weep tonight, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend your sick ones, O Lord Christ. Rest your weary ones. Bless your dying ones, soothe your suffering ones, pity your afflicted ones, shield your joyous ones, and for all your love's sake, we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Lord, I know that life lived by the power of your Spirit has greater rewards and profits than anything I can accomplish in my own flesh. Help me to always live according to your word and to refuse to be tempted to do otherwise. I know that living your way benefits every part of my life. I don't want to ever miss the mark you have for my life by not living your way. Speak to my heart about any of the plans I have for my life that are causing me to completely miss the plans you have for me. I don't want to assume that I'm doing everything right. I don't want to live my life without asking you how. Help me to live in a godly manner so that I can receive the promises you have for me in this life as well as in the life to come.
come fill my soul. I hunger and thirst for you, O Lord, come fill my soul. When I'm found in your presence, Lord, my flesh and take rest. My soul is touched with a love I trust completely. I hunger and thirst for you, O Lord, come fill my soul.
It was your hands that made me and shaped me. Grant me insight to learn your commands. Those who revere you see me and rejoice, for I trust in your word.
O Lord, I know that your decrees are right, and that in faithfulness you humbled me. Let your faithful love console me by your promise to your servant.
Show me compassion that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the arrogant be shamed who deflect me with lies. As for me, I will ponder your precepts.
Let those who fear you turn to me, that they may know your decrees. Let my heart be blameless in your statutes, that I may not be put to shame.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Do not speak evil of one another. Whoever speaks evil of a brother or judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. If you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver and judge who is able to save or to destroy. Who then are you to judge your neighbor? Those who condemned the woman went away one by one.
Behold, behold, the mighty one has done great things for me. Behold, behold, the mighty one has done great things for me. And holy is your name, and holy.
My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to help his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever.
Behold, behold, the mighty one has done great things for me. Behold, behold, the mighty one has done great things for me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Those who condemned the woman went away one by one. Compassionate God, you alone are judge. In hope we pray.
Teach us your ways, O God.
Save those victimized by war, prejudice, and oppression. In hope we pray.
Teach us your ways, O God.
Advance efforts to ensure needed vaccinations and medical treatment for all people. In hope we pray.
Teach us your ways, O God.
Give wisdom, insight, and restorative sleep to those in positions of authority. In hope, we pray.
Teach us your ways, O God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
May God strengthen us to love our neighbor and to seek peace through Jesus, our hope for salvation. Amen.
Before the ending of the day, Creator of the world, we pray that you with steadfast love would keep your watch around us while we sleep.
From evil dreams, defend our sight, from fears and terrors of the night. Tread underfoot our deadly foe that we no sin thought may know.
I hunger. Soul.
So I lift my hands and call upon your name. I hunger and thirst for you, O Lord, come fill my soul.
We now offer a prayer requesting the intercession of Blessed Michael J. McGivney, priest of the Archdiocese of Hartford and founder of the Knights of Columbus.
God, our Father, protector of the poor and defender of the widow and the orphan, you called your priest, Father Michael J. McGivney, to be an apostle of Christian family life and to lead the young to the generous service of their neighbor. Through the example of his life and virtue, may we follow your Son, Jesus Christ, more closely, fulfilling his commandment of charity and building up his body, which is the Church. Let the inspiration of your servant prompt us to greater confidence in your love, so that we may continue his work of caring for the needy and the outcast. We humbly ask that you glorify your venerable servant, Blessed Father Michael J. McGivney, on earth according to the design of your holy will. Through his intercession, grant the favor I now present. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Be present, O merciful God, and protect us through the silent hours of this night, so that we who are wearied by the changes and the chances of this fleeting world may rest in your eternal changelessness. Lighten our darkness, and in your mercy defend us from all perils and dangers of this night. Visit this home, O Lord, we pray, and drive far from it the snares of evil. May your holy angels dwell with us and guard us in peace through the night, and may your blessing be always upon us through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
May the God of hope fill you with every joy in believing. May the peace of Christ abound in your hearts. May the Holy Spirit enrich you with his gifts now and forever. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been listening to Night Prayer in the Afterglow with Father John. Thanks for listening. In the Afterglow, a time of reflection and relaxation is underwritten in part by the people of Superior Energy of Vernon, Connecticut. Now in their 80th year, they offer personalized 5-star propane service to customers throughout Connecticut and southern Massachusetts. For more information, call 800-242-0427 or visit propanect.com. Coming up is Exploring Music with Bill McLaughlin from the WFMT Radio Network. This is WJMJ at 88.9 in Hartford, 107.1 in New Haven. WJMJ Catholic Radio, where faith meets life, and where we're inviting you to be to enjoy an entire evening of relaxing music tailor-made for you.